Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering what happened. From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
The events in the following episode took place on the afternoon and evening of March 23rd, 2018.
I'm going to make sure I'm recording. Yep, okay, cool. I always get nervous before these, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's basically like, I need to speak to them, they don't need to speak to me.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, look, I knock on doors all day long. I only get nervous, though, like, and it's necessary, and I do the exact same thing, but I only get nervous when I plan it out.
Yeah, like, yeah.
When I just make a phone call, I don't.
Right, but what about when it's somebody who you need information from?
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, dude, I was so nervous when I was going to knock on the door of the spot house. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I totally stressed out. Yeah, because I have one shot. Like, you know, I knock on the door. Whatever I say determines whether, you know, or how they perceive me, in my opinion, determines whether they want to talk to me or not.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right. Here we go.
What if your partner developed 21 new identities? Or you discovered that your friend who helped you through the darkest times was actually a conniving con artist? Or what if you began seeing demons everywhere, inhabiting people around you, including your son? What would you do? I'm Whit Misseldine, the creator of This Is Actually Happening, a podcast that brings you extraordinary true stories of life-changing events told by the people who lived them. In our newest season, you'll hear even more intimate first-person accounts of how regular people have overcome remarkable circumstances, like the man who went to jail for 17 years for accidentally shooting the person who tried to save his life, to a close friend of the infamous scam artist, Amanda Riley. These haunting accounts sound like Hollywood movies, but I assure you, this is actually happening. Follow This Is Actually Happening on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can listen to This Is Actually Happening ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Chapter 13. Extremely fucking loyal. Hey, Chance, thank you for calling me, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sorry to hear about your friend, man. I'm like, and again, I just found out this morning. I don't know if you knew last night.
Yeah, I was with him, bro. I was with him the whole time.
Holy shit, dude. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Like, this story needs to be told, dude.
I'm speaking with Chance, a friend of Chris Spotz's. Chris, the boyfriend of Adaya Shibani, just reportedly shot himself after a police stop in San Bernardino, California. The news hasn't yet reported on Chris's identity, and I've been desperately scrambling to call anyone who knows Chris to find out if he told anybody what happened to Adaya or where she is. And we just found Chance, by chance, on social media. He claims to have been the only person to have spent the last few days with Chris.
That was the best motherfucker I've ever met in my entire life, dude. You know, he was my hero, dude. He was my fucking hero growing up. That guy completely shaped who I was as a human being, who I am as a human being. Like, he taught me everything I know, dude. His energy, his fucking vibes were so strong, dude. So strong and so pure, just and righteous. You know what I mean? Like, oh my god, dude, this shit is detrimental, man. Like, I can give you the whole life story, dude, in a nutshell, dude. Like, I started out a little fat kid, you know, and he inspired me to start lifting weights and start working for myself and start believing in myself, you know, so I did that. And then I became the captain of the football team just because that motherfucker took me under his wing, dude, and showed me how to do it with nothing but love. Like, and that's just the start of the story, bro. Like,
yeah.
I started drinking, I started fucking around with drugs, and he cut me off, man. He cut me off. He said, can't be around that shit, dude. And we didn't talk for a couple years. But then he just all of a sudden came back into my life just here recently. You have no idea, bro. He came back into my life in the last week. And he told me, like, this is some very personal shit, dude, but he told me that he felt so bad about turning his back on me that he wanted me to be with him when it happened. Because he wanted his vibes, his energy to come into me because he felt so bad about this shit. I can feel him, and it is. His vibes are so strong, bro.
He said he wanted you to be with him when it happened?
Yeah, dude, I'll give you the whole rundown, bro. Like, he showed up ready to kill himself. Just like, fuck this, I'm never going to get it out of this. Just so you know, dude, he didn't do shit, bro. His fucking dad is responsible for all of this shit. His real father. Bro, his dad's a piece of shit, dude. His dad is a piece of shit, dude. His dad used to fucking... Oh, you don't even know how bad of a piece of shit his real dad is. I've seen this motherfucker from way back, dude. He's a date-raping fucking... drink-dosing fucking scandalous-ass motherfucker, dude. That's who his real dad is. Okay, so he was always, like, seeking a fatherly figure. And so was I, you know? And that's why I related to him so much. But he was that for me, which he didn't have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he set the example of the fucking Superman, dude. Like, I was always striving to be like Chris. You know what I mean? Like, the day that I could bench press as much as Chris Potts did was a landmark of my life. You know what I mean? And when I did it, like, he downplayed it. He's like, ah, you know, it's all right. You could do better.
Oh, when you're talking about his dad, you're talking about Chris from Sacramento, Chris Sr.?
Yeah, yeah, that fucking son of a bitch, dude. So anyway, this whole thing transpired. He showed up at my house, and he's just out of the blue, you know. From what I'd heard, he was doing great. Everything was fucking perfect, blah, blah, blah. And then he showed up, and he just laid this shit on me. He's like, dude, I got some real serious shit going on, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I think my dad has something to do with it. I'm fucked. I can't get out of it. And he was ready to go, dude. And I think I kind of caught up to him in a spiritual level. And, you know, I talked him out of it, dude. And he said, well, fuck, dude, I showed up here to fucking kill myself, and now you done enlightened my ass. Well, let's go do this thing.
And you live in Colorado, right?
Yeah, I live in Colorado Springs, dude. It took a day and a half of trying to convince my girlfriend to let me go on this fucking quest with him, dude. He already had the room rented out and the chain and the everything. Like it was a done deal. Like he was like, no, dude, I came here to fucking do this. Like stop fucking talking all that shit.
What does he think his dad did to Adea, and what does he what does he know as far as that goes?
I'm gonna just throw it out there, Red. So the night before all this shit went down, he was talking to his dad about breaking up with her. And his dad advised him against it. He said, dude, that girl's full of money, blah, blah, blah. She's hot, she's rich, she's this, she's that. Don't do it. Chris said that he was on his way somewhere to a party, to something, dude. I don't even fucking know. But they ended up getting into an argument. And she started hitting him. Like, you know how girls do, dude, when they get fucking mad. Anyway, he said he pulled over and told her to get the fuck out of the car. And she was screaming and he drove off. He said his first thought was to call his dad and be like, hey, when the deer calls you, just tell that bitch I'm fucking done with her. He did that. And his dad said some weird shit, dude, some really weird shit. His dad said, don't worry about it, Chris. Girls go missing from L.A. every single fucking day. He said, I swear to God, he came and picked her up. And, like, this was the point, bro, that we had throwaway pistols. To just go and tie him up and fucking get him to tell the truth. Like he knew to the point of tying his own blood father up and beating him to death. That he knew the truth. She had said something to him earlier about calling his dad. And he said, fuck you, bitch. Like, you wanna fuck my dad? Go fuck my dad. And then he kicked her out of the car. And then she went missing.
Just to untangle this a little, because it's very emotional, Chance has only just recently been released by the police after Chris's car chase and suicide. He has $50 in his pocket and no identification. And he's wandering around Riverside, California, talking to me while waiting for his girlfriend to fly in from Colorado and pick him up. He's giving us Chris's last version of the events surrounding Adea's disappearance, which is that Chris and Adea got in a fight and he kicked her out of the car on the 5 freeway. Now, we've heard a version of that story before from his lawyer, but what's new, and frankly hard to swallow right now, is that afterward, Adea called Chris's father, and Chris's father then picked her up, and Adea was never heard from again. Whether Chris believed this, or was just saying it to manipulate Chance, is unclear. But what is perfectly clear is that Chris Spotts was on his way to potentially kill his own father when he got stopped by the police. Note that the biological father of Chris Spotts, whose name is also Chris, is referred to here interchangeably as Chris Merez and Chris Sr.
And like, dude, like, I don't know how much research or whatever you've done on me, dude, but like, I'm a good dude, bro, but like, I'm extremely fucking loyal. Like, if you got my back, I got your back, bro. Like, to the fucking end. And he called me and he told me the situation and told me the part that his dad could have implicated into it. And I was like, you know what, dude? I'm not letting you fucking do what you came here to do by any means. We're gonna go get something else out. And we got pulled over on our way to his dad's house.
Oh, shit. You guys were on your way to his dad's house?
Well, he was going to go do his little acting thing in the middle of the he was going to go do that just so he had something. That was like his last thing. Like, he wanted to be remembered for something.
Do you know what he was going to do? Maybe I'd talk to the people he's going to do the acting piece with, at least.
Yeah, it's really ironic, actually. He was playing a police officer.
No.
I swear to God, dude. Officer Chandler. I don't want to sound like a dirtbag, dude, but we were on our way to his dad's house to tie him up and fucking beat the truth out of his ass. Like, that is what we were going to go do.
Shit, man. So you're going to come to L.A., do the acting, then go to Sacramento and take care of business.
Exactly, dude.
Yeah, so he had no idea where his dad would have put him.
No, bro, like, straight up. He said, listen, dude, if that body's anywhere, my dad's going to know where it's going to be.
Right.
So anyway, we went on one last fucking thing, dude. He wanted to come down and do his last, his first, whatever the fuck it was, acting. He wanted to come down and just solidify himself as an actor. So we made this road trip, dude. And it was the most amazing spiritual fucking experience of my life, dude. All we talked about was spiritual shit and listen to Manish Yahoo, and as we're pulling out of this gas station, dude, a policeman, for no fucking reason, spotlighted our car. Like, hit us with a spotlight. And he said, just chill. And so we did, and we pulled out all nonchalant, doing nothing wrong. The cops ended up pulling us over, dude. They got out guns drawn. Fucking from the very get-go, guns drawn. Like, no words, no nothing said. Just fucking three cops, guns drawn. I told him to throw his fucking keys out the window. And he looked at me, dude. He looked at me straight in the eye and he says, "What? I told you I wasn't going down, dude." That was always his pet name for me, "What?"
Shit, say what he said again, because your phone cut out a little bit.
He said, "What? I told you this. I ain't going to jail, bro. I ain't going to jail. We're doing this." And the whole thing about this thing was like living and dying like a warrior, Like fucking living and dying like a warrior. Like, you were born a warrior, motherfucker. Follow through with that shit.
You said that?
That was the whole part of the conversation, the entire fucking 19 hours down here, That was it. I said, "Let's just do this, dude, whatever, let's get it." So he sped off, he had a spare key under his seat, he threw the first pair of keys out the fucking window, dude, and he reached under his seat and got the spare key and just took off. And it was a fucking crazy ass chase, dude. There were so many fucking police behind us. And he pulled out a gun, dude. And he said, "I'm not going down like this. I'm not going down for some shit that I didn't do. I'm not doing it." I said, "Then put the fucking gun down, bro, and just pull the fuck over." And he said, "Do you want me to stop?" I said, "Yeah, dude, please fucking stop." So he slammed on the brakes. And he reached across me and opened the door and kicked it open, dude. And he kicked me out, like, literally with his feet. He kicked me out and he said, "Get the fuck out, dude. I love you so much, man. I love you so much for being with me. Get the fuck out. I love you, man." And he drove off. And that's the last time I ever fucking drove off.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man.
That motherfucker is an epitome of a warrior, dude.
I ask Chance what he's going to do now, and he says he's going to find a bar and get a drink. I tell him not to go anywhere and to stay safe, because frankly, I'm worried about him, especially since he's alone after what just happened. I let him know I'll be there right away, meet him in person, and we can continue talking. So I got to ask you one other thing, why not just freaking get pulled? Why not just get pulled over, fucking deal with it, and then go, or just tell the police and have them deal with it? Why not?
I'm gonna tell you right now, dude. Like, he had two guns in his car. Like, dude, he was full blown. Like, that's what I tried to do. That question you're asking is exactly what I tried to pound into his head when I was trying to get him to pull over. Like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I'll take them both and run. I don't care, man. Like, just pull the fuck over. He wasn't having it, dude. Boy's like, nah, fuck these motherfuckers, dude. Fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. He wouldn't do it, dude.
And you told the police about Chris's dad or no?
At first I didn't, but I left a message to the detective that I had some more shit to tell her, just because, like, when they were questioning me about it at first, and it was like 3 minutes after it happened, you know, I still didn't want to believe that shit, man. I want to talk, at the very least, talk to his mom and dad first.
Okay, I'm going to start driving to Riverside. I'm going to call you or text you when I'm on my way. Thank you for the time.
Thank you so much for giving a shit, bro.
Dude, and I'm sorry you lost. I'm sorry you lost a friend.
I lost my best friend and a mentor and a motherfucking warrior, dude. Thank you so much for caring.
Chapter 14. No comment. The clock is ticking before this hits the news, so I jump in the car and call Jaden and tell him I'm going to pick him up so he can meet with Chance too. Jaden tells me that Detective Kaiser of the LAPD has just met with Nora and broken the news to her. Lastly, did he share any information with Nora that's useful?
No, not half the information I had. She's done. I mean, she's done. She's like, we'll put her on suicide watch. She's hurt.
Some of Adea's friends have been reaching out. Is it okay for me to tell them about Chris or no?
No.
Don't tell them?
Mom doesn't want the friends talking to anybody.
Information is slowly beginning to leak, and the press is starting to figure it out.
Like, one girl that I know really well, she's like, I'll hold the story if you want me to, but she said it's gonna break. She's like, I'll hold it if you want to wait until Monday, but she's like, honestly, it'll probably break before then.
Yeah.
Like, she said, give me a heads up if you know it's gonna break, because she says she's getting a lot of pressure from her station to run it.
How did they know it was him? How did they associate him with her?
Because they released that it was the boyfriend of a missing person.
Oh.
In Los Angeles. That's what the article said, which obviously came from PD out there.
Holding off the press is key so that I can get to the rest of Chris's inner circle and try to see if he confessed or left any hints about Adea's whereabouts. Because once the media starts hounding them, they're going to shut down and not talk to anyone. I've also been trying to call Chance to find out where he wants to meet in Riverside, but he hasn't been answering. As I walk into Jaden's house, his phone is already ringing off the hook with press calls. So just right away, just say, hey, like, oh, go ahead. So,
CBS. I'll take it, because me not taking it is stupid. Origin, this is Jaden. I'm the investigator working on the case. Unfortunately, I can't confirm any details right now. Other than that, it's a very active investigation. It's just very frustrating. Every time I dip my toe in there, an alligator jumps up and bites me. You know, it's like,
yep.
Origin, yep. This is Jaden. I cannot confirm those details. Still a very active investigation. Yeah, you got a number I can text if I can get any info to you. Okay, you got it. Yeah, I'll get you any info I can as soon as I can. All right, here's my thing. Yeah, see, they're running with she. They're running with she's dead.
Why are they all running with that? Because the sheriff's department.
Again, who the fuck kills themselves when they didn't do it? Right. That's what the news is.
Yeah, yeah.
Just give my condolences to the family. At least now they have some closure.
Without an official comment, the media tries to work around Jaden and get in direct contact with Adea's friends. Angel, Adea's boss at the Hookah Lounge, calls Jaden asking what to do and whether Chris has indeed killed himself.
What's up? So the media's out in front of your building? Who's there?
KTLA is here, Fox 11 is here. They're like calling me and like, we're outside. And come down and make a comment.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I probably wouldn't do that if I were you.
So he's dead? This is confirmed?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, between you and me, yeah. No.
So what do I do with these guys outside?
Nothing, just tell them you have no comment right now. We don't want to confirm the story. We just don't want it to go out as, you know, we're trying to contain it if we can.
If anything, we've been listening. I mean, I'm sorry, bro. I know you're talking to me right now like you're talking to somebody who you don't want to give information to. But at the end of the day, like, everything that the LAPD wanted, we ended up doing. And this is what they ended up fucking up on. You know what I mean?
No, you, dude, you're right.
It should have been when they already took them in. So right now, is this whole media thing, is it because of the LAPD?
It's both. The friend network has opened up a little bit, and we're trying to get through there before the story breaks too big and people, you know, lock up. Just hoping maybe he gave some piece of information to somebody. I mean, obviously it doesn't look good, but
yeah.
So I'm working on it.
All right, give me like 15 or 20 minutes. I'll call you back.
Anyway. I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad for you.
Now that I know the press is camped outside Angel's apartment, what are they going to do to Chris's family and friends when the news gets out? We're running out of time to have a real conversation with them. I try Chance again, but still no response. And what's crazy is that the source of the information that Adea was murdered is actually a press release from the California Highway Patrol stating that an unnamed suspect in a Los Angeles County homicide shot himself. It doesn't mention names, but it's really irresponsible because there is no proof that Adea was murdered or is even dead. And if Nora hears this and thinks it's true, it would just destroy her. I have to find out what I can. And the next call I need to make is going to be one of the hardest. To Chris Merez, the father of Chris Botts.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Chris, it's Neil again. I'm sorry to bother you. I wanted to fill you in.
Yeah, well,
things are about to hit the press today, but I really...
Yeah,
go ahead.
I know, and I don't want his name slandered or anything, because I know better than anybody, you know. And the thing is, he's a good kid. Yeah, he's a great kid, in fact. He never hurt anybody. I mean, the kid is amazing. I mean, and the sad part about it is my son's dead.
Yeah.
He killed himself. He's a great kid, and he's never been at home. He's never even had a ticket in his whole life. But I mean, there was threats there. I mean, and my son had a gun for a reason. Wouldn't you be scared? You know, you got this girl saying that she's going to kill herself, or I'm going to ruin you, I mean, come on. I mean, he was pushed to a level that you, and I know Hollywood is a fucking, it's a cesspool. It's a fucking, I mean, it happens all the time to these actors. And right now with all this shit going on with male producers and with the women coming out, it's pretty bad. Let me tell you something. This thing is bigger than any movie you could ever imagine. It's a true story. It's nothing like that. I mean, my son was a great kid. I was a kid myself when I had him.
When was the last time you visited before this?
Oh my son, it was probably about four or five months ago. He came out for the day.
Yeah.
He came up for some supplements and pre-workout, shit like that.
When I talked to Chance, he said Chris felt that you were corresponding with Adea a lot.
No, wow. So the only time I ever talked to her, and see, this is another thing too, this is a weird thing.
you know, because he's a ladies' man, and when I was single, I was a ladies' man, you know, and we kind of go to the, you know.
Chris Merez goes on to talk for quite a while about how he and his son are only 16 years apart and how they used to compete for women and how Chris Spots would never bring his girlfriends around his dad.
Bring her around. Because I would never hit on his girlfriends, but, you know, I'm a 49-year-old good-looking guy. I don't ever, you know, I got green eyes, you know. I stay in shape. I used to be a bodybuilder, you know. So I think he felt like they're going to like me. I've never even met Mary. I've never met a dad. I've never met any of his girlfriends. He would never bring them around me.
I've never been in Chris Merez's position, so I don't know what it's like. But it seems strange to hear a father bragging about his own looks and sexual prowess less than 24 hours after his son just killed himself.
But like I said, that was the only time I ever talked to a dad. There was a time she called me. And then Mary, I've only talked to the time that she called me and asked me, hey, do you know, he was at a hotel. He tried, you know, he told her that he was thinking about suicide a long time ago. And now it's mind-boggles me that I told her, my son would never kill himself. And now look what happened. That's I don't even know what to say, dude.
Chance said some crazier stuff around that he said came from Chris, but I don't know. It was pretty crazy.
What crazy? Like, say something. Say one thing and I'll tell you if it's true.
All right. I'm going to tell you this, but I'm just going to share this with you, but this is as unbelievable to me as it is going to be to you.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, wait, hold on one second. I'm going to tell
you. You could say you could have Chance saying it.
And again, and I want to kind of clarify too, because I want to say this could just be Chance saying this. It doesn't mean that it's true, okay? But he said, dude, and you've had a fucking brutal 24 hours, so I don't even add this to it. And again, keep this between us, but Chance said, I'm struggling, trying to just spit out this next sentence because I just don't know how to tell a father that his own son was planning to murder him. To Live and Die in LA has been a production of Tenderfoot TV and me, Neil Strauss, in conjunction with Cadence 13. The executive producers of this podcast are myself, Donald Albright, and Payne Lindsay, along with producers Alex Vespested and Mike Rooney. Because this is an open case, anything you know about Adeya Shabani or anyone mentioned in this podcast, we want to know. Please email us at livedyla@tenderfoot.tv or call us at 213-204-2073. The music and score you've heard in this podcast is by Makeup and Vanity Set. Our theme song is Love and War by Flurry, and our show art and design are by Trevor Eiler. You can follow us on social media at LiveDieLAPod, or you can find our website with bonus content at LiveDieLA.com. The editing is by Alex Vespested, with additional mixing by Resonate Recordings. Special thanks to Rich Berner, Kevin Richter, Chris Corcoran, Oren Siegel, Ryan Fishback, Oren Rosenbaum at UTA, Eric Lin at Shangri-La, and the Nord Group. If you or someone you know is talking about, toying with, discussing, hinting at, ending it all, call right away the Suicide Prevention Hotline. Don't think you can help them yourself if you're not qualified. It's 1-800-273-8255. And thank you for listening.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.